Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
The new talk in some circles is that college spending is the next gigantic bubble. Tech entrepreneur, hedge fund manager, and Silicon Valley heavy hitter Peter Thiel wants to pop it. Why? Because Thiel believes college isn't for everyone, especially not the best and brightest. Or so he says. So he's launched the Thiel Fellowship that pays 20 aspiring entrepreneurs under 20 years old $100,000 each to drop out of school and follow their dreams.
Because you never know where the next Mark Zuckerberg is going to come from. You know, Zuckerberg, but Thiel's provocative idea is A, not worth the money, and B, a killer of creativity, has alarmed leaders in higher education, including Northeastern University President Joseph Aoun. Aoun says, while we don't know who will be the next Mark Zuckerberg, we do know that most people won't be. In other words, for the vast majority, college is still the best bet.
It's an intense, important debate, and we'll have it right here. Today's talker, decrying and defending the purpose of a college education. So listeners, is college worth it to you? Or does the cost of a college education now outweigh the benefits you believe a four-year degree could bring? What do you make of the argument that college stifles creativity? Or do you worry that higher education in America is being unfairly challenged, and maybe by a group of people who used college itself to catapult themselves to success? Join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook at Radio Boston. Well, joining us now from San Francisco is Peter Thiel. He is co-founder of PayPal, a board member of Facebook, and an early investor of Facebook as well, and currently president of Clarium Capital, a global hedge fund. Peter Thiel, welcome to Radio Boston.
Meghna, thanks for having me on your show.
I should actually correct myself. Earlier I said you have 20 Thiel Fellows. It's actually 24. Is that correct?
We ended up having so many phenomenal applicants that we decided to accept 24 for this year. I think there are sort of a lot of very interesting, important issues this whole topic raises. Our narrow goal in setting out this program was simply to identify some very talented people who we thought would be able to do more, contribute more to our society outside of college than continuing in college. The goal was not for them so much to drop out in the sense of dropping out of society, but to take a few years off and try to do something different and more meaningful.
And maybe, Mr. Thiel, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
To get the next Mark Zuckerberg, that's an unrealistic aspiration.
Okay.
But the goal is to see if people can do more than they would otherwise do on a tracked trajectory, which at the same time involves massively escalating costs and escalating debt.
So perhaps contributing in a more meaningful way than they could in college. But Mr. Thiel, stand by for just a second, because I do want to introduce our other guest into the program, then I'll come right back to you. And that other guest is, of course, Dr. Joseph Aoun. He's the president of Northeastern University. He joins us today from Paris. Mr. Aoun, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hello, Meghna. It's good to be with you here.
And thank you so much for joining us today. So, Peter Thiel, let me come back to you, and I guess let me ask you to clarify a little bit more what you were saying just a bit earlier. What is it that you think, or why do you think that these 24 young people whom you've selected to be Thiel Fellows right now would be better off developing their ideas outside of college?
I believe there's no right idea, right time for when people should become entrepreneurs. When you have a great idea about creating a transformative business or new venture, that is the time when you should start it. Starting a business is not something that's tracked. It's not something that you learn in college. And in fact, a great number of great businesses were started by people who stopped out of college, not just Mark Zuckerberg and some of the other Facebook founders. It was also true of Bill Gates at Microsoft. It was true of Steve Jobs at Apple. It was true of Dell. It was true of the Oracle founder. It was true of the founder of Whole Foods. The list is surprisingly long when you start looking at it. We're not saying everyone should do this, or even a majority of people should do this, but we are saying that that perhaps there are at least 20 people in the U.S. who are very talented for whom college is not the right thing. There are 6 million students every year of college age who go into college or finish high school every year, and among the best of those students, surely there are some for whom this is not the exact right thing to do.
But why? I guess what I'm trying to understand is why. What is it about? I mean, you have selected, and when I was looking at the credentials of these students, they are the very tip top of American college students. Absolutely the brightest people. I mean, they kind of like, well, anyone who looks at the list would feel like there's no possible way that we could be as smart as these kids. But what is it about college itself that you think isn't serving the people who you think would flourish the most in a college environment?
Well, I think it's a relative judgment call that there are a number of people who could do something better outside of college, and that we should not be absolutist and dogmatic and say that everybody has to do the exact same thing and go through a tracked college education. Now, what I think has materially changed from when I went to college 25 years ago is that the costs have escalated in an just unbelievable way, and so college costs are by something like 300% after inflation since 1980. Mm-hmm. There are people, four-year college costs well over $200,000, and so even though college should not be just an economic decision, it is actually turning people into debt slaves for 10, 15, 20 years. It forces students to then graduate, take higher paying but less meaningful and less jobs that are less valuable in the long run for our society. And I think and my big concern is that as a society we are becoming more risk averse, more tracked, and this enormous amount of debt that people are piling up is certainly a contributing factor to this.
Well, let me take that and turn it to Dr. Joseph Aoun, president of Northeastern University. There's two tracks we can follow here, Mr. Aoun, and let's just hit the first one, which is the one that most people are just very palpably familiar with, and that's what Peter Thiel is saying about the cost. That it seems to be that with the amount of debt that students carry once they graduate from a four-year institution, and nationally, the student debt is going to hit $1 trillion very soon, that with those kinds of numbers, this the sheer monetary value of college maybe wasn't, it's not there as it used to be.
Magna, let me start by commending Mr. Thiel for supporting 24 students and helping them fulfill their potential. Of course, in higher education, we do it with thousands of students. So I feel that in some ways we are intersecting. What worries me is that he seems to be advocating overall for a nation of less educated citizens at the time when countries like China are calling for a nation of scientists, engineers, and highly educated workforce. And that's my worry about this criticism of that is mounted by Mr. Thiel. So when it comes to the cost of higher education, in fact, all the studies, and I'm sure Mr. Thiel is aware of them, shows that, in fact, higher education is the best value and the best investment you can make in your lifetime. It provides you with a higher income, with higher employment, and frankly, more importantly, a richer fulfillment. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the other aspect that surprises me here is when Mr. Thiel mentions innovation, that college and universities in general stifle innovation. In fact, he gave us examples of people who did it outside, and I can list a way longer list of people who were able to launch companies and corporations and have innovations, whether they are students or faculty, and they did it within the framework of a university. So, listing 10 examples on one side or listing thousands of examples of people who went to college and launched companies and innovated is leading us nowhere. I think innovation is happening in universities, is happening in colleges, and colleges are conducive. They create they provide an ecosystem that provides students with multiple points of view and multiple disciplines that allows them to understand that, frankly, innovation is happening at the intersection of fields.
Mr. Owen, let me just jump in here and absolutely acknowledge that the star power of Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg, et cetera, is hard to deny. But on the other hand, one of Peter Thiel's fellows, a young man named Dale Stevens, these are his words. He published basically an op-ed in CNN. He says, Dale Stevens says, I left college 2 months ago because it rewards conformity rather than independence, competition rather than collaboration, regurgitation rather than learning, and theory rather than application. Our creativity, innovation, and curiosity are schooled out of us. That's fairly strong stuff coming from what could be arguably one of the brightest students in America whom, you know, as I've ventured before, should be flourishing in college.
You know, you mentioned, Meghna, that I'm in Paris. What I have been doing is meeting and working with various colleagues throughout Europe and Asia and actually throughout the world. And I can tell you that our system of higher education in the U.S. is the gold standard. And as I mentioned earlier, demand for our type of education is at an all-time high. In fact, if a person didn't have a good experience, it doesn't mean that the thousands of students who went through college and not only had a great experience but were able to innovate and launch companies, launch new initiatives, and launch NGOs, are not doing the right thing. What we are seeing is that some people, and I agree with Mr. Thiel, what Mr. Thiel is saying, you know, some people will be better off outside the framework of academia and helping them do it. Fine. And I think that's it. Mm. There are, you know, the overwhelming majority of people are flourishing in higher education, and we need it. As a nation, we need it. We need to have a highly educated workforce and highly educated citizens.
Peter Thiel, let me turn back to you and just sort of attack head-on a little bit more this assertion about the monetary value of college. I mean, you heard what Dr. Joseph Aoun had to say. I have college loan debt myself, so I hear you when you say that. But on the other hand, there's other data and pretty robust data that say that lifetime earnings for college graduates can outpace those people who don't have a college degree by up to $1 million. So even if you don't end up being an engineer or a doctor, you do eventually pay that back and gain in the long run.
Well, it's, you know, I've seen all the same studies, and I think the question one has to ask is how much of that difference is attributable to the fact that colleges teaches people more, or that they simply select really talented people in the first place who would have done better anyway. And so if we looked at people living in Brooklyn and people living in Manhattan, people in Manhattan earn way more money than people living in Brooklyn, but you wouldn't say that you improve people's quality of life in Brooklyn by just having them go on a bridge over Manhattan. And if you believe that, you might be interested in buying a bridge around Brooklyn or something. So I think you know, one of the questions is really, is it just taking a test where you are in effect identifying the most talented people who do well in high school and have done well in tests and who would anyway do well, or is it really adding tremendous value? And I think on that, the data, as far as I can tell, are decidedly a lot more mixed. I think there is this sort of this footnote to it, which is that you should not underestimate the pressure people are under to pay off these loans. So if you go to college and medical school and have $300,000-$400,000 in student loans at the end of 8-10 years of education, you have to become, you know, you have to try to get the highest paying job as a doctor you can to pay off those debts and try to be in maybe the same place you would have been if you had been a plumber by age 45 or 50. And so I do think there's both an economic and non-economic part to this discussion, but the economics are a lot less clear than people think, especially when it comes to taking risk, which is the narrow part that I'm most worried about, is what do we need to do to encourage risk-taking, innovation, entrepreneurship. You cannot start a company if you own a big house with a swimming pool and have to pay the mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And in a similar way, if you owe tremendous amounts of money on college loans, very hard to start a company. There are many other things you might be able to do. You might be able to become a college professor, a doctor, a professional, work in a big company. But the entrepreneurial things are really hard to do.
I hear, Mr. Owen, I hear you. Go ahead and respond.
Yes, I think, you know, there is a point that Mr. Thiel introduced that frankly surprises me. He is saying that, in fact, colleges pre-select students destined for success. He doesn't realize that we make bets constantly on students. And let me give you an example. We have at Northeastern a program called the Torch Scholars, T-O-R-C-H, where we take students who do not qualify for college. And in fact, we make a bet on them, and we work with them, and we graduated the first generation this year. Those students do not qualify for college by any measure, mm-hmm. whether it's the traditional SAT scores or whether the GPAs or any other measures. And I can give you more examples where colleges constantly are making bets on field. I think Mr. Thiel is living in a tower here, and I would like to invite him to spend a day at Northeastern and look at the first generation of college students who are making it, and no one is predestined for success, Mr.
Well,
no
well, one think, is. Well, I think this is where I would very powerfully disagree. I mean, obviously, I'm familiar with the Torch program. I mean, these are very small programs. They do not involve the majority of the students at Northeastern or any other campus. If you looked at the students...
Well, the Thiel Fellowship only involves 24 people in the whole nation.
We're not making a claim that ours is universal. The person who's making the universal claim here is Dr. Un. He's saying all talented people should go to college. We are agreeing.
I didn't say anything so far along these lines.
Well, let me interject between both of you. I'm sorry, gentlemen. Let me interject between both of you because we've got a lot of listeners who have quite strong opinions on this, and I do want to have a chance to invite them into the conversation before we run out of time. But just to remind everyone who's listening, we are having a wonderful debate about the purpose and cost and opportunity cost, let's say, of a college education. Our guests are Dr. Joseph Aoun. He is the president of Northeastern University, and Peter Thiel. He is co-founder of PayPal, currently president of Clarium Capital, a global hedge fund, and he's founded the Thiel Fellowship. Let's see, we've got some comments on Facebook. Amelia DiCola writes, college is wonderful, but the cost makes it awful. I would say we're already in a bubble that few are acknowledging. Bryn Kessler also on Facebook says, we need to step away from the cult of youth, as if hitting 20 before you pursue some hot idea will make it worthless or doomed to fail. A good liberal arts education gives you more tools to follow your dreams, not fewer. Let's take a call from Newton, where Jake is on the line. You're on the air, Jake.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, Magna. I have a question for Peter. But before asking my question, I feel it's important to mention that I'm currently studying philosophy, public policy, and law at the University of Massachusetts in Boston. And although my experience may be anecdotal, however, as for the cost, I currently have a 4.0 grade point average, and that work grant earned me grants in education, making it essentially free for me. So that being said, my question is, what exactly is this experiment Peter's trying to prove? And qualify that a little bit, or to rephrase it a bit, does this experiment prove anything about the value of higher education, or does it prove that 24 individuals already destined for success can accomplish with a $100,000 grant?
Jake, thanks for your call. Peter Thiel?
Well, I disagree with the premise of the question. We don't believe in experimenting. We don't believe in experimenting with people's lives. So we thought that all of these people had the ingredients to be extremely successful. We are going to try to help them be more successful than they otherwise would be. You can't actually do an experiment on someone's life. You only get to live it once. And it involves a judgment call that people could do something better. What I do think is very important for people to think through, whether they are in college or stop out of college, is what they would like to do. I went to college. I went to law school myself. If I had to do it over again, probably would still do it, even with the higher costs. But the one thing I would try to do very differently is think through it a lot harder and not have it simply be this automatic thing you do.
Well, let me invite just one more voice into the conversation. very briefly here. He is Ben Yu, and he is one of the 24 young people that were selected for the Thiel Fellowship. He dropped out of Harvard to accept the fellowship, and he's now working on creating a price comparison service for the web. Ben Yu, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Magda. Thanks for having me.
So what is it about this fellowship, or I guess what was it about Harvard that made you think you couldn't launch this idea for a price comparison service on the web while in school?
Yeah, so at Harvard, when I first got in, I strongly agreed with all the points that Dr. Oon was bringing up right now. And when I actually got into school, that changed, and I actually felt very stagnant in what I was learning at the time, and I felt that these were the most vigorous energetic years of my life, most mentally capable that I would ever be. So in that time, the choice between really staying in school and preparing for future as opposed to actively pursuing it, that's what brought me over to dropping out. And there's just a huge amount of time that you get sucked into in college that you can't actually put into making business. And working on a startup or any other true endeavor really commits full time, and
so all the required classes were dragging you down.
I feel that an extent, right?
Okay, so and then you know, when our producer Jessica Alpert was talking with you a little earlier today, she told me that you've got a very interesting family background. That your parents are originally from China. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, and that your mom and, or at least your mom and dad, were they thrilled when you took the Thiel Fellowship, or not so thrilled?
It was a little bit of a dichotomy. My mother wasn't so thrilled, and my dad was a little more supportive. Mm-hmm. And that just comes from the fact that my mother, she went through the Cultural Revolution in China. So she was sent off to provinces from 4 to 17, never even had a chance for primary or secondary education, and she works as a cashier at Home Depot. So for her, she's really pinned the idea of higher education to achieving your dreams and success. Mm-hmm. Whereas for my dad, it was a flip side. He pretty much left the family and moved back to China about 10 years ago to work on his laboratory that he began. So he knows how it is to really start as an entrepreneur, and he also realizes how much harder it is to begin something when you're 40 or 50 as opposed to when you're 20 and you don't have any other responsibilities burdening you down like debt or family.
Right. So, Ben, I guess my last question for you is this. So you've gone what seems to be from one sort of dynamic intellectual environment, Harvard, to essentially another dynamic intellectual environment, this Thiel Fellowship. You're surrounded by the other fellows. You're surrounded by the network of super bright minds and deep pockets that Peter Thiel knows. In my mind, you're not really taking that much of a risk. You're moving from one supportive environment to another. So if there weren't this Thiel Fellowship, would you have stayed in school and still tried to pursue your dreams at Harvard?
No, I actually took a leave of absence indefinitely before I accepted the Thiel Fellowship, and I had already left second semester. I only stayed for a semester there. So I definitely felt at that point that Thiel Fellowship or no Thiel Fellowship, I would have dropped out. That was really cemented at the finalist weekend, just meeting the vast swaths of mentors and other entrepreneurs that Peter Thiel had assembled for us, and just realizing what could be done outside the school.
Ben Yu, calling us today from San Francisco. He's one of the 24 Thiel Fellows selected this year. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So Dr. Joseph Owen, president of Northeastern University, and Peter Thiel, you're still with us. There's one thing that was raised a little earlier that I want to drive at in the last few minutes that we have here, and that is this whole sense that Peter Thiel raises that college is no longer a place where you can take risks. I mean, Ben, you echoed that as well. Dr. Owen, I wonder, how would you respond to that? And what?
No, it's, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, and what, I mean, what counter evidence do you have when you hear, again, like, as Peter Thiel raises, the best and the brightest in America's recent economic past is peppered with these stars who say, I couldn't do it there because I wasn't allowed to take the risks that I wanted to in college.
Actually, let me mention two things. Let me start by mentioning that, in fact, I look at what the Thiel Fellowships are as equivalent to the system we have of long internships called co-ops, where the students can go for up to 6 months, three times, up to 6 months every time, to be intern and part of the co-op programs is encouraging the students to launch their own companies. And not only do we do that, but do we seed it too. We have the idea labs that is seeding their projects and allowing them to happen. And I am sure that many universities are going to have similar examples where students are launching companies while they are in college. I find that this is a dichotomy that is false. Either you are an entrepreneur and you are out of college, or you cannot innovate in college. Mm. It's simply not true. We have it constantly.
Well, let me turn that back to Peter Thiel in the last minute that I have left. And if I may, Mr. Thiel, I just want to buttress what Dr. Aoun said with just some facts that I've picked up from Babson College, that, for example, the probability of startup survival is just 7% for a company that started by an entrepreneur with no college education or industry expertise. But when someone has both a college education and industry expertise, the odds of startup survival rise to 77%. So certainly, even these people who couldn't wait are gaining something from being in college for 4 years.
Well, I think again, there are all these different statistics on this where it's unclear who you're selecting, what kinds of entrepreneurs are the people starting restaurant businesses, what sorts of businesses are these people starting. I think the relevant category are people starting technology companies, and I suspect that's the numbers for that would be very very different. I think there are many different ways people can go about this. I do tend to think that starting a company is a pretty immersive experience, and that if people want to do it seriously, it is something that requires 40, 50, 60 hours a week or more, because you're competing with people who are doing it. It's not something you can do part-time, just as I think college is not properly done part-time. I think the best college experience is fairly immersive where people do this. Again, there are some exceptions where you can try to do both, or you can experiment with something else. But in practice, it's somewhat immersive, and we think that we don't have a one-size-fits-all. We need to try some different things in the country. We've gone the wrong track in this country, and we need to be open to trying some radically different things to get the U.S. out of the rut it's in.
Well, that is Peter Thiel. He is co-founder of PayPal, a board member on Facebook, and currently president of Clarium Capital Global Hedge Fund. Peter Thiel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And Dr. Joseph Aoun, president of Northeastern University, thank you as well.
Thank you for having me, Magna.
And listeners, I know there were a lot of you who wanted to get on the line and couldn't, but please do continue this conversation online at radioboston.org.
And here's a quick update in the James Whitey Bulger case. Just minutes ago, a federal judge ruled that Bulger does qualify for a court-appointed attorney. Bulger will be represented by the Boston-based criminal defense attorney J.W. Carney, Jr. We'll have lots more on the Bulger story on All Things Considered in just a few minutes.
And coming up after a very quick break, weekend picks. And while Saturday Night Live is on summer break, Boston's Improv Asylum steps into the late-night weekend comedy slot.
When it's not live from New York, it's sort of live from Boston.
Yes, sort taped. Of live, but taped.
We were alive when we taped it, yes.
Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.